Oh. Any more prayer requests? All right, can I have a couple people help me with the communion? All right, Father, we thank you. We thank you in the name of Jesus for giving us the Holy Communion to participate in. And we thank you for giving us directions. Paul told us to discern the body of Christ. So we know that when we look at this, we see Jesus' body. We see him in his sacrifice. We see him in his passion. We see him on that cross. We can get our healing and our well-being from him. Father, we see this bread as being made without yeast. And Jesus' body was certainly without sin. And yeast is significant of sin in the Bible. Jesus' body is and was completely 100% without sin. And this bread has been beaten flat, pounded flat. Jesus' body was beaten and bruised for our transgressions and our iniquities. And Father, we can see in the stripes. The Bible tells us that it was by his stripes that we were healed. And this bread has been pierced, and Jesus' body was pierced, and everywhere his body was pierced, he shed blood. He shed blood in his head. He shed blood in his hands. He shed blood in his feet. He shed blood out of his side. And everywhere that he shed blood, we get redemption in some area. And this bread is slightly burned. It means that the full wrath of God's fiery judgment, the judgment that was meant for us, was laid on Jesus when he was on that cross. He took every sickness, every disease, every sin, every curse on his body, and he set us free. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. The blood of Jesus is the most precious substance ever known to mankind. It could do things that no amount of gold and silver could do. It washed away our sins. All of them. The blood of Jesus protects us. And the blood of Jesus seals in the New Testament promises for us. And the blood of Jesus did the one thing that no man could do. It made us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, because of the blood of Jesus, we are in right standing with God. And we can go boldly into his presence and we can receive mercy and grace in times of need. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. We're coming up on the special day where we celebrate the birth of Christ. And sometimes I think people just stop there. Praise God, Jesus came here. And in fact, when Jesus was born, angels appeared in the sky and they were shouting, "Peace on earth, goodwill towards men." There's so much more to it. You know, Jesus is the one man that was born to die. Did you know that you were not supposed to die? That was not part of God's plan. God put Adam and Eve in the garden, and he wanted that system to go on and on and on. And he told Adam of a certain tree that he was not supposed to eat of, and he ate of it. Now, a lot of people think that God chased Adam out of the garden because he was mad at him. That's not true. In fact, they had an animal sacrifice right after that, and God covered them with skins of animals. I think he put the blood side out. I can't prove it, but I think he probably put the blood side out. So they had an atonement. But the tree of life was in that garden, and God could not allow Adam to eat of that tree of life and live forever in that sin-filled state. Matter of fact, he told Adam not to eat of that tree of knowledge and said, lest you die. Adam ate of that tree and he died immediately, spiritually. It took another 800 years for him to die physically. See, the curse hadn't been released on the earth yet. It just took a while to get him dead physically. But here's the thing. Jesus was born to die for us so that we could live forever with him. Now, there's some things that happened because of that birth. I want you to turn over to Philippians. Chapter 2. We'll start in Philippians chapter 2. Verse 5. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Now right there, I want to stop right there for just a second. He took upon himself the form of a servant. How did he do that? By being born in a manger and being a man on this earth. He identified with us. It's important to understand this. There's too many people running around thinking that Jesus did miracles because he was God. That's not the way it went. Jesus did miracles because he was a righteous man on this earth that got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's why he said you could do the same things that he did. Because he identified with us and got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now here's the thing. If he was operating as God on this earth, then we would have to just sit on the bench and not participate in the kingdom out there, doing the things that Jesus said we would do. Lay hands on the sick, dead recover, cast out devils, speak in other tongues. That wouldn't be part of it. We'd have to just sit right here, watch him do it all. That's not the way it works, though, is it? So, since he identified with us, we need to identify with him. That means you're going to have to let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Have you thought about that? really thought about that? Did you know you had the same standing with God as Jesus? You have the same standing with God as Jesus. And here's why I say that, is God gave Jesus the name. We'll see that here in a little bit, but that is above every name. And Jesus gave that name to you. He gave you power of attorney to operate on this earth in His name. You're a judge. You tell me. When somebody gives somebody power of attorney, it's the same as they're speaking.
That's correct.
So when you say something in the name of Jesus, it's the same as Jesus saying it. That's the legal part of this deal. Did you know there is a legal part of the kingdom? You have power and authority in the name of Jesus. And that power and authority is backed up by the kingdom of God, by the very throne of God. He backs that name. See, this is not just some good luck charm that you've been given. This has been a very important thing that's been given to you. And it couldn't have happened without the birth of Christ. Him identifying with us. Now, let's go on here. He was found in fashion as a man. He humbled himself. He became obedient unto the death, even the death of the cross. Have you ever wondered how come? See, there's a reason that was allowed to come about. See, God cut a covenant with Abraham. God cut a covenant with Abraham. And then Abraham finally got the promised son, Isaac. And he got him up there somewhere around 30 years old. And God, so he was a full-grown man. And God told Abraham, take that boy, the one you love, your promised child, take him up that mountain. We're going to have a sacrifice. Abraham walked up that mountain with that son carrying. Can you imagine Isaac carrying the wood for his own sacrifice? Gets him up there to the rock, ties him up, gets the wood ready for the fire, and has the knife in the air. He's going to sacrifice Isaac. And then the angel showed up and said, don't lay a hand on that boy. Don't lay a hand on that boy. God has prepared himself the lamb. And there was a ram with his horns caught in the thorns. Praise God. Now, you know, do you get the gist of this? He found a man that was willing and obedient to give his son. And the son was obedient all the way to the sacrifice. That gave God a legal right to step in with his son. Because according to the covenant, Abraham was willing to give his son, so that gave God a legal right to give his son. Abraham fulfilled the covenant. Jesus got on that cross, and here's the thing. He took everything that was wrong with us upon him. God treated Jesus the way we deserve to be treated so that he could treat us the way Jesus deserved to be treated. A complete swap. If there was everything, if there was ever anything that Jesus did not do, we would have to do it. Jesus didn't leave anything out. He did it all. Now all we can do is receive it. Receive what He did. He wants you to let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That's the footing that you've been set on. And God has highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He gave you that authority, and that authority covers three different realms. Did you see that? Break these verses down sometime. Of things in heaven. You know, Paul talks about being taken to the third heaven, where God is. But you know, there's a heavenly realm around about us. And there's demons in that realm. And you have authority over every one of those. You have authority over every one of those. And He gave you authority over beings on this earth. Did you know that there's beings on this earth that you need to have authority over? Here's a curious thing. Did you know that Jesus didn't walk around healing everybody? Did you know that? He didn't walk around healing everybody. Sometimes He forgave them and they got up healed and walked away. The man with the paralytic man, they let him down through the tiles of the roof. And Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. Get up, take your bed. And he got up and took off. On the Sabbath day. He broke their religion. He wasn't supposed to take up his bed and walk on the Sabbath day. You know, Jesus was tired of their religion. And He's tired of our religion. He wants us to have that same heart that David had. Bring Jesus back into the center of worship. Bring Him back into the church. The whole bunch of churches need to throw their doctrine out the window. Throw their man-made ideas away. And put Jesus in the middle of the congregation, where He belongs. And celebrate Him. And He gave you authority over beings under the earth. There's three realms that you have authority in. With the name of Jesus, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, that thought it not robbery to be called equal with God. You have authority over every single demon. You know, Jesus also cast out devils, and people would walk away healed. One day, on the Sabbath day. I had read this story and read this story and read this story, and I always had the idea that this woman that had been hunched over for a long time just come walking in front of the pulpit and Jesus just healed her right there. That's not the way things work. When they went to church, to the temple, they had a balcony area. And that's where the women went. The men sat down in the seats, down in the main congregation. The women were up in the balcony. If you know anything about livestock, the weakest animals get pushed to the back So this woman, she knew people by their shoe size. So she was going to get shuffled even farther back. So not only was she up in the upper balcony, but she was in the back, in the nosebleed section. Not where Jesus could physically see her. But he said, this daughter of Abraham, have you ever thought about that? This daughter of Abraham. He didn't call anybody a daughter or son of Abraham unless they believed God. She came there in faith. She seen Jesus in his mercy and grace, and he seen her in her faith, and she got healed on the Sabbath day. And that made him mad. He was tired of their religion. He wanted to get serious about this. He wants us to get serious about this. He wants the church to stop playing church and start getting active. But they have to let this mind be in them. You have to understand that you have a great amount of authority. A lot of people don't operate in that authority because they don't meditate on it. So, see, God told Joshua to meditate on his word day and night. To look at that word and meditate on it. Think about it. Understand what you've got. That's how faith comes. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So when we meditate on something, we talk it over with ourselves, we keep saying it over and over and over again, faith is going to build in our heart. Then we'll step out and do what that faith calls us to do. Go on down here. Every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God that works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, there's a doctrine running around that says we're supposed to work out our salvation, and they lead people to thinking that there's works that they have to do to be saved. And that there's nothing more you can do to be saved. Once you raise your hand and say, Jesus, be my Lord, guess what? You're saved. You're as saved as you're ever going to get, as far as going to heaven is concerned. But salvation is a big word, and it holds deliverance in there, healing in there, prosperity. It holds everything a man needs. And that word, salvation. I'm not done being saved, are you? I had a guy work for me one time, and he's a charismatic Catholic. And he's kind of quizzing me. He said, how about salvation? I said, well, I'll tell you what. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I'm being saved right now. Because I still get healing, I still get deliverance, I still get protection, I still get prosperity. And I will be saved when I get there. Jesus will complete my redemption. And you would have thought I slapped him with a wet fish. He looked at me and he said, do you realize how Catholic that sounds? I said, do you realize how Bible that sounds? Quit arguing whether you're once saved or all saved. Too many divisions, too many ways to argue. Understand what that word salvation means. And then receive as much of it as you can possibly get. Now, let's go over to Philippians chapter 3. And you have to understand that Jesus, in everything that he went through, his birth, his ministry on earth, his passion, his death. None of it would mean anything if there wasn't a resurrection. And in fact, that's what we base our salvation on. We believe in our heart that God raised Jesus back to life, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. Or is with our mouth that confession is made unto salvation, and with our heart that man believes unto righteousness. That word righteousness, that's one of those special words, and you have to get it sunk into your heart what this means. Righteousness means right standing. Not right doing. There are a lot of people running around teaching that righteousness means right doing. Then that leads you to the idea that you're going to have to work out your own salvation, and you're going to have to earn whatever it is you're going to get from God. And you're going to fail miserably. You're going to be a mean Christian. There's a lot of those running around. Some of the meanest people I ever run into sat in church every single time the door swing open. And the reason is they're frustrated, they're tired, they're mad, and they're trying to earn something that God has already given them. They just don't understand it. They need to just chill out, sit down, receive from God, and live life abundantly. Amen? But you're in right standing with God. Everything, all the things that you read in the Old Testament from the time Adam got kicked out of the garden to the cross is about man trying to be in right standing with God and failing miserably. God told him. When they got to Mount Sinai, the people told Moses, said, you go tell God that whatever he requires of us to be righteous before him, we're more than able to do that. First thing they did was built a calf. Golden calf, started worshiping. Do you know they were under a covenant of grace before they got to Mount Sinai? You know, God miraculously delivered them out of Egypt. And during all those plagues, did you know that the children of Israel, they lived in the land of Goshen? They didn't get the frogs, they didn't get the flies, they didn't get none of that stuff. Even when darkness covered Egypt, it didn't cover the land of Goshen. Goshen means like a nearness. Land of nearness. They were near to God. They were in a covenant of grace because of Abraham. Now they got out of there. They got out in the wilderness. They whined and they complained and they moaned. God, he gave them a pillar of fire by night to keep them warm. He gave them a cloud by day to keep them cool. He fed them quail. These quail would fly in every day. They had fresh quail and manna from heaven. Gave them sweet water in the desert. Their shoes didn't even wear out. They did a lot of walking. And they did a lot of whining and a lot of complaining, but God took care of them. Until they got to Sinai. They said, you tell us what we got to do to be blessed? We can do it. And then that's when trouble happened. Then they were in trouble every time they turned around. And they stayed in trouble for generations. But God in His mercy gave them animal sacrifices so they could have shedding of blood, so that they could have an atonement. So there was still grace available to them. We have to understand we have fresh grace, fresh mercy every day. Every day we wake up, we have a fresh new batch of grace and a fresh new batch of mercy. Just get on with it. Now look what Paul said here. Verse 10. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, that by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. Paul wanted to know Jesus and the power of His resurrection. See, in Ephesians, it talks about us where we've been seated at the right hand of God. And it talks about how the Holy Spirit operates in us. The very same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus back to life is the very same Holy Spirit that resides on the inside of you. And if you've got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit that came upon Jesus. How cool is that? And people are sitting around waiting for some power evangelist to come from 500 miles away to a city near you. You can buy a $50 ticket and he can pray for you. Come on. He doesn't have access to the Holy Spirit that we don't have access to. You have the same access. You have the very same Holy Spirit that Paul has, Peter has, James has, the very same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus back to life, the very same Holy Spirit that came upon Jesus and He operated in miracles, that's the very same Holy Spirit that you have access to. Did you know that you don't have any business putting $100 in the collection plate because some preacher said you're going to share in His anointing? Just take your $100, go buy a steak, say, I don't need a second-hand anointing. I got a fresh anointing from Jesus, my high priest, the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. I don't need your second-hand anointing. I got the original one. Amen? See, I got to thinking along these lines. Because I was really, really, really curious, and I really wanted to know what I needed to do to operate in some of this stuff. And I'd see these big-time preachers doing some pretty cool stuff. You know, Benny Hinn does some cool stuff. I said, Reinhard Bunke. And I'd see them, and I thought, and people would say, yeah, they got a special anointing. How do I get that? And the whole time I was running around with that special anointing. And what really dawned on me finally was I was watching two pastors. Benny Hinn was one of them. There was another pastor on this program, and they were talking. And Benny operated in the realm of miracles. You know, there was miracles happen in his meetings. You know, Holy Spirit happens in his meetings. And he was talking about that. And then this other pastor got his turn to talk. This guy evidently operated in the realm of finances. And he was talking about some stuff, and Benny looked completely lost. And I thought, I watched and I thought, how is that? What you meditate on And what you study on is what's going to probably happen in your life. See, if you meditate on fear, guess what's going to happen? Fear. You meditate on loss, loss is going to happen. You meditate on the Word of God day and night, guess what's going to happen? Whatever part of the Word of God you're meditating on. So you can meditate on finances, you can meditate on healing, you can meditate on the Holy Spirit, but whatever you major on, that's probably what's going to come out of you. We'll finish up with this. Turn over to John chapter 14. Somewhere along in my studies, I had figured out that God was no respecter of persons. And the Holy Spirit dropped this idea in my heart, saying, you know, if Paul could do it, you could do it. If Peter could do it, you could do it. So I thought, okay. I got to thinking, you know, maybe something's not right in what I've been taught. And then he dropped in this, if Jesus could do it, you could do it. And I thought, that's going a little far now, don't you think? Well, I started asking different preachers, you know, I said, you know, Paul could do these things, Peter could do these things, I should be able to do these things. They said, well, this guy's got a special anointing. I wouldn't let it go. I couldn't get away from that idea. And then one day, I ran into these verses. Verse 12. John chapter 14, verse 12. This is in red. This is Jesus himself saying it. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you. And you know, verily, verily, in the Bible, you know, if they were saying that in the oil field, they'd say, wake up and pay attention. That's how they do it in the oil field, ain't it? Wake up and pay attention. You get it right. This is Jesus saying, wake up and pay attention. I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Right there. Puts you on equal footing with Jesus. Jesus put you there. And in fact, you got the whole armor of God on you. The devil can't really tell any difference between you and Jesus. He doesn't know who he's messing with. And when you dig out the name of Jesus and use it on him, he has to flee. There's too many people hiding from the devil, hoping he doesn't come visit. He's going to. I promise you. That's his job. I don't know if you noticed this, but he hates Christians. You're not alone. He hates non-Christians too. He hates people. We invaded his realm. Did you know that? We invaded his home. He was wandering around down here on this earth before Adam and Eve were. He got kicked out of heaven before Adam and Eve got here on this earth. He come cruising through, found a new garden, come up there and seen Adam and Eve. Who are you? And he seen something in Adam and Eve that he had always wanted. So he had to figure out a way to steal the blessing away from Adam and Eve. But since he can't do anything but twist and counterfeit, he got the blessing, twisted it, and turned it into the curse. There was no sickness until Adam sinned and Satan got authority on this earth. There was no sickness. There was no fear. There was no lack. There was nothing wrong until that point. Adam gave it over to Satan. Jesus came down here on this earth and took it back away from Satan and gave it right back to you. He gave you authority on this earth. Amen? Let's go eat. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for everything that you do for us every day. Thank you for this special time of season that we celebrate, where we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior. Father, we thank you for teaching us. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who teaches us and guides us, shows us how to rightfully divide the word of truth. Father, we praise you. And we thank you, Father, that even though things may be challenging in the new year, we're going to have an awesome new year. It's going to be even better than this year. Amen? Amen. Amen.